Is church membership really important? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike and Pete Allison. Thank you, as always, for coming in and spending Friday's broadcast with me. I know how busy you are, and that is a tremendous gift, and I appreciate you doing that.
Oh, it's good to be here. Are you doing all right?
I'm doing... Let me check. Yeah, I'm doing good, as a matter of fact. Hey, listen, guys, we got a lot of questions, and we love your questions, and the only dumb ones you don't ask, but you do need to write them down. Send them to Key Light, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or in Canada, Key Light Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3. Or you can email us, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want a response, steve@keylight.org. And listen, you always get a response from me or in the magazine or on the broadcast or from a staff member because we take you seriously. But don't use the 1-800 number for questions. That's to make orders, to become a part of Key Life Tapes, to get the booklet that we're offering this month free, to make a contribution, all of that, but you do need to write your questions down. And we love to hear from you. Pete, why don't you lead us in prayer, and then we'll get to some of these questions.
All right. Well, Father, right now we do bow in your presence. Wherever we are, we think about you right now, Father. We honor you and praise you. We remember that you are the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so far above us. And yet, Lord, we're amazed that you sent your Son to die for us and to make it possible for us to become your children, your sons and daughters, to be forgiven, but then to belong to you. And, Lord, sometimes we don't feel like we belong anywhere. But when we stop and when we think about our relationship to you through Christ, we do belong. And, Father, I pray that you would enable us to enjoy our sonship in Christ. And feel what many of us don't feel in the human relationships that we have, that we're yours and will always be yours because of Christ. Lord, we look forward to worship on Sunday and a time with all of the rest of your people to remember who you are and what Christ has done, and that we're family together in him, worshiping and honoring your holy name. Father, be with us. Draw us. Be with those who lead us, pastors, teachers, priests. Father, be with the pastoral families, the kids, the wives, Father, all those who are on the front line of ministry. We pray that you would bless them and encourage them. And, Lord, protect them from the evil one who would love to destroy them. Now, Lord, we answer some questions and we pray for your wisdom. And we pray that you would be very close to us now as we pray these things. In the name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I think this is from Kansas. What does the Bible teach about church membership? Is church membership important? Why do I have to be a part of it? I mean, why do I have to be a member of a church?
You know, I think what we're talking about here is we're talking about the sort of formal, on paper membership of a local church. And once you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, you are a member of the church universal, aren't you?
Yeah.
So we're really talking about the local church, and so what does the Bible say about membership? And my quick response, and I'm a pastor, is it doesn't say anything about local membership in the church, does it?
Not that I know of. I don't have to go next Sunday. Actually, I look forward to it. Because forsake not the gathering, rather, and I think that's important. You know, I used to say, but this wasn't important, and then I began to realize that in our culture it really is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's important that people formally commit.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have the kind of culture where intimacy and relationships are almost impossible,
mm-hmm.
where we don't want to know who our neighbors are, we don't want to be public in any commitment. It's a whole part of that post-modernity thing.
Mm-hmm.
And And I think, you know, I want to say, you know, if you've got some convictions, stand up and be counted for them.
Mm-hmm.
Put your name right here, and that makes you a formal witnessing part of this body of Christ. And that's hard for people to do today.
That, you know, that's a really good point. I'll preach. In fact, I might preach that. that's very good. And I think it is a way to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And as I said Sunday, so many people want closeness. They want relationships. And they're frustrated when people don't come after them. But they won't join. And they won't say, I want to be a part of this. And it's in the context of the mission where we find those relationships. So it really is, I think it is good. I'm always shocked when we have people come to one of our membership classes. I say, you know, what you're doing here, most people in the world aren't doing.
Yeah.
And that is, I'm gonna join. I'm going to commit.
Now, people are not saved or lost whether they have a formal name on a membership roll, right?
They're not.
Well, I'm asking you.
In our church, we offer a two-stage salvation. You're absolutely right. And that really is, I think that's what a lot of people are saying. Hey, listen, I'm not saved by joining the local church and getting my name on some rolls. No, you're absolutely right. But it is a way to say, hey, I need to be a part of fleshing out the kingdom of God here in this locale.
Yeah.
And this is really a pretty big issue for our day and age, I think.
Yeah, it is, and it's one of the places where Christians, I think, can really make a difference, make a statement. And, you know, people always say, well, that's a bad attitude. You know, I can worship God out fishing or playing golf. But I'll tell you something, if they are, they're poor fishermen and bad golfers. or poor Christians, one or the other. Because, man, I don't worship too good on a golf course.
Oh, man. I repent a lot.
Yeah, me too.
There's a related question here, which you didn't bring up, but I'm going to bring up, is the whole issue of denominations. You know, does it matter necessarily what denomination should I be in? And that is, I think, even though I'm very, you know, got all my doctrine laid out, and I'm sure you do too, that is not as important as it is to be a part of a Bible-believing church.
You know, they said it, Promise Keepers. And I haven't been to one of those. They wanted me to speak for them, and I just didn't have time. But I'm really supportive of that ministry. And you know, I have a friend who says the most important and observable thing about those Promise Keepers stadium meetings were those guys got out of the house without their wives telling them how to dress. but I know you have been to those, but you remember when they say the name of your denomination, and everybody yells out the name of the denomination, it sounds like chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say, now, everybody call out the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, there's unity. And so up above the denominations is that everybody who belongs to Jesus belongs to everybody who belongs to Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And that's the church and remembers of that. So if you find a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church near you, why not?
Yeah.
And go public and say, I want to join this. No church is perfect.
Yeah.
And you can only add to helping spread the kingdom, but only when you're really committed.
And if it's perfect, don't join it. You'll mess it up.
That's right.
This is an interesting question. It's an email. How should churches deal with rampant divorce among Christians? It seems to be a hard and pressing issue, and it is, isn't it?
Oh, man, it is. The problem is that you need to give people time to process these things. And a divorce, just because the divorce actually goes through, doesn't mean that's it. I mean, you and I both probably have seen cases where the couples have come back together.
Right. Oh, yeah, many times.
But I think the more the issue is the rationalization among Christians. God wants me to be happy.
Oh.
God wants me to be happy, so I know He doesn't want me in this relationship.
And God blesses every time.
Yeah. Oh, man. So we heard that. In fact, I heard it Sunday. After church, a lady said she's going to talk to a friend of hers about that whole thing. God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to leave my husband. I said, well, is her husband abusing her? No. Is he a Christian? Yes. Obviously, the marriage is not perfect, but he was shocked that his wife was walking away. God wants me to be happy. So how do you answer that?
The same way. Nuclear family is God's priority. It's this basic institutional setup in the world. And I think we start, and it's, you know, fool around with that. I think that's really important stuff. And there are people listening right now who've been divorced. That's not to say that's the unforgivable sin.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, I want God to grace you. When I used to preach on the subject, I told people, you know, they're going to lose their salvation, they were going to go to hell, that God was going to strike them with a lightning bolt if they got a divorce. Because there are a lot of people just waiting for me to get permission, and you do.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And then, but then I would say, but I want to talk to you guys that have been through it. God loves you, and He starts where you are. And if you'll look around this congregation, you'll find there isn't a single person who hasn't messed up something really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so start there and begin to walk with Him. But I think we must never just say, well, if it didn't work and I get a divorce, or you're not happy to get a divorce. I think that's an abomination to God.
It is, and God permits divorce for the, you know, I think in the case of infidelity, but He doesn't command it. And some marriages are healed and can be healed through that.
That's so true. And I think the church has got to continue to present the truth. We've got to recognize that the culture does interfere, even in the church. And we get bumper stickers that say, we're not perfect, we're forgiven. And then do our best to teach the truth. And I, you know, they always do these studies, and I think it is rampant among Christians. But I also think that people who are hurt and wounded are drawn to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be no surprise to anybody that there are a lot of people who have been divorced who are in the church because that's the place where wounded people are supposed to go.
You know, and that's been sort of for the last several years my thrust, too, in talking about every one of my cousins, and I've got about 10 or 11 of them that have been divorced. I'm the only cousin that hasn't experienced that. And so I'm sensitive to this issue. On the other hand, I think we have sent maybe the message, you know, just go ahead and get divorced, God will forgive you. And not we necessarily our church, but the church.
Yeah.
And I think it's time for us to say, show me the verse that says God wants you to be happy. I can show you verses that says He wants you to be holy, and that He will give you everything you need to make it in that relationship. Hang in there. You said it once so good. People often, they leave before the fun in marriage.
I agree. We really do. You know, and we just got about 10 or 15 seconds, but that's true of generally about life, not just divorce.
Mm-hmm.
That we are called to honor the name of God, to praise Him, and to worship Him, and for His honor and His glory. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, a lot of good stuff happens, but if we have to go after the good stuff before the other, then we don't get anything.
That's right. Ah, that's right. So go for that first. Go for what glorifies Christ, and then lead Him to do the same.
We got to go. Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.